3.
Hey, welcome to day 3 already of back to school in Parkway. Kind of hard to believe that that we're here already, right? That we're on our third day. And I want to take a moment and say thank you to Swiss Village, Chat Insurance Center, Second Crossing Brewery. Thank you to the Rockford Chamber and The Fix. We begin today with Tracy Troglin, who is elementary school principal. Tracy, nice to see you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So let's begin by, talking. First of all, we'll start hearing about your background a little bit. Maybe share with us where you're from originally and what got you into education.
I live in St. Mary's. I've been at Parkway for the last 4 years, and I've always wanted to be a teacher. Even when I was in second grade, I used to teach to my stuffed animals at home, and I just always knew this is what I wanted to do.
All right. So for you, upon graduation, where did you go to college and what were some of your first jobs like?
I went to college at Wright State Lake Campus to get my undergraduate degree. And then I went to school at Bowling Green to get my graduate degree. And then from there, I went to the University of Findlay. I started teaching in Piqua, and then I taught in Walpock. Then I got my administrative degree, so I went to be a principal at Bradford, and then I went back to Piqua, and then to Parkway.
All right. So, over that time, I mean, that elementary school age or whatever, both I can see that being challenging and a heck of a lot of fun.
It is definitely a lot of fun. This age range, the kids just, they love to be here. They're so caring toward each other. They help each other out. They're cute. When they learn something, they're excited about it. And I just think that's a wonderful, wonderful place to be for my job, for teachers and myself.
Yeah. And also I'm sure rapid, change, right? I mean, there's probably a pretty big difference between, okay, you were in kindergarten, but now you're in first grade. Now you're second grade. I mean, they're growing up fast, aren't they?
Yes, they very much are.
Let's also talk about, a system or a program, or maybe it's even a technique of PBIS, I understand, is something that you use here at Parkway. And this is going to probably sound familiar to a lot of families and teachers from around here, right?
Yes. Yes. Many schools do PBIS. It's Positive Behavioral Intervention and Support. And it's just a framework that focuses on teaching students how to behave. We teach students how to learn math facts. We teach students how to learn how to read. But sometimes we just discipline when it comes to behavior instead of teaching them the appropriate behavior. So teachers will take kids all around the building, show them how to use like the playground equipment or how to get through line in the cafeteria or what to do to use the restroom. It might be 2 pumps of soap and a couple pulls of the paper towel. And then once we set that expectation, teachers will reward students by verbal praise. We do have a few incentives set up. But if I'm in the hallway and I see a student walking with their hands at their side, doing a great job, I might say, Billy, I really like how you are walking in the hallway, but I'll go one step further and be very specific. I like that your hands are at your side, you're in the line, and you're very quiet.
That's true. And obviously, one of the things that made me think of was how many parents or even, teachers that have said over there, you need to use your indoor voice, trying to teach them that, you're in school now, we're expecting a little more from you. The days of being a banshee have to be over, like you did earlier in life. Can't just yell all the time. You got to learn this stuff, right? The social skills.
Yes, I do talk to students quite often about how school's different. There are a different set of rules, different things that we do at school than what we do at home. And then we spend a lot of time at the beginning of kindergarten and even first grade just teaching those skills and then reiterating those in the older grades as kids go through school.
Yeah, there was, I can remember the two two ways to really get in trouble when I was growing up. One of them was to get caught running in the hallway. That was a big one. And also, you know, no real like yelling in the hallway either, right? Especially if class is in session and stuff that you and I probably don't, you know, even think about. But almost everything has to be learned, right, at some point.
Yes, that's very true. We expect that students know things, but really they don't. You know, especially even coming to kindergarten, they may not know how to line up. You know, they've never maybe been to a place where they've needed to get behind another student, face forward, and walk in a line. And we don't think about that.
You know, it's funny. I remember growing up, George Carlin once quipped some of the silly things we say to kids. And one of them was, you know, don't you understand English? And the answer is not fully. No. Right? Because they're little ones, right?
Yes.
Or the
yes.
How many times do I have to tell you? I don't know, 3, 4. Yes. Because they're very much still learning. And I imagine that's a balancing act between giving them grace, you know, that they're still working on remembering this versus, okay, you really should know this by now, right?
Yeah, and one of the things that we do to help, because students at this age, you know, very simple. So we say, act like a panther, ACT, attitude, caring, teamwork. We say it every day on the announcements. So anytime that a student maybe is not demonstrating what a panther should be like, you could say to that student, you know, are you caring right now? Is your attitude positive right now? Are you showing good teamwork skills? So you can always refer back to that. And because we say it every day and we have signs all over the hallways, it's really easy for the students to learn three simple rules, if you will, for school to try to do their best and stay positive.
Yeah, it's such good things, you know, to learn about, especially like attitude, for example, you know, the caring, you know, and certainly, you know, some of the things that, let's face it, adults have to work on sometimes, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%.
I also had thought about, you know, attitude, you know, where, you know, if you come to school and you're excited, you know, to be here and you want to learn, is probably more than half the battle, you know, even if it's, you're going through some things, if you bring that good attitude, you might just pull it off versus, you know, if you bring the bad attitude, well, we guarantee that if you decide it's going to be a bad day, yeah, it will be. If you decide it's going to be a good day, maybe it will, maybe it won't, but you got a better chance than if you go in thinking this is going to be bad, right?
Yes, absolutely. Mindset's everything.
Yeah.
Some of the things that we do as well, like we have a daily reward in the cafeteria. The cafeteria aide will pick a secret student. She won't tell the students who it is, and she'll just watch that student. And if that student acts like a panther during the cafeteria time they're in the cafeteria, they'll earn a small prize. We do two weekly rewards. If we use Dojo, Class Dojo, which is a communication system for parents, but it also tracks behavior of students. And if they're at 90% or higher, they get an extra recess. And we're going to start this really fun thing. It's a spinner wheel. So if kids earn 94% or higher, we're going to randomly pull a student at the end of the week, and they're going to spin this big wheel, and there'll be prizes on there. So they're going to earn that. We also do quarterly rewards. We might have inflatables, or we might do like a neon dance party, or have a kickball tournament or something, just to encourage kids to not only be positive for a week or so, but all year long, all the time. And then we do have a quarterly school-wide assembly where we recognize students of the month that try hard and act like a panther.
So I have to ask, what are some of the prizes on that wheel?
So we're still developing the prizes, okay. But it could be a hot chocolate we have the Smile Club here. So it could be a hot chocolate. It could be some sort of a candy reward. But we're still working on many incentives that we've talked about. We do have a PBIS committee that meets once a month.
There you go.
So we are throwing out ideas right now to get this wheel started. We just purchased the wheel. So when it gets here, we'll start filling in those
Excellent.
Slots. Yeah.
And if this is a success, maybe you could bring Plinko to Parkway. I mean, you know, this does kind of remind me of something you might see on Price is Right, you know?
Absolutely.
That can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And on a much more serious note, talk about an incentive. Hey, I remember that age. An extra recess, that's serious stuff.
Yeah, they love it. And I feel like it really does incentivize students to act like Panthers and be good citizens and do what they're supposed to do.
Yep, and that's I sometimes call that like the positive peer pressure, right? You know, tell them like, hey, now that's not the way a Panther acts, right? You know, you kind of you know, if you have to guilt them into it a little bit, maybe you do, but you just tell them, hey, be nice. There's a lot of better things that can happen for you and will happen if you're nice to your peers, your students, right?
Yes. And I think that leads right on to the middle school and high school, because when they leave high school, I mean, our main goal here is that we prepare students to become, you know, productive citizens. So yeah. I think this is definitely helping.
I wonder, so again, just as a reminder, now, how long have you been at Parkway as principal?
Start my fifth year.
Fifth year, and then I kind of thought about that for you. If you've had a chance to catch up with students that you're not their principal anymore, but now they've kind of moved on into the older grades, but I'm sure they still remember, right?
Yeah, I had an eighth grade student call me last year and just tell me that his teacher allowed him to call me, and he just told me that he really enjoyed me being his principal. We had a lot of one-on-one time together, and he just said that he wanted me to know he was doing really well and trying really hard, and I thought that was fantastic.
That is fantastic. And another thing, I know what you mean when you say one-on-one time. You know, growing up, to the surprise of no one, I was fairly familiar with the principal, and, you know, I'm sure you can probably view it, I think, from your perspective, as this is an opportunity, right? I can make a difference. I can figure out, okay, why is this student being so disruptive, or what's going on? And they'll remember you for that, too.
Yes, and I think that's probably one of the most rewarding things in my job, is just to get to help students. Whether that be academically or behaviorally, socially, you know, just we want well-rounded students, and we have lots of things in place to help students. And my job is just to make sure I reach out and get them all the help they need.
There you go, for sure. And, you know, obviously, you know, for you, Tracy, it's good to have you back here at Parkway. You know, it's kind of hard to believe we're coming up on October already. I'm sure you're already thinking about the Halloween stuff. I can remember, especially in the elementary years, how much fun that was, you know, to kind of, you know, start doing those kind of crafts and decorations and things like that, too.
Yes. And I know the students get to dress up one day. We kind of have a Halloween parade. They get to walk around with their costumes. This year, we might add a little fog machine in there just to have some cool effects. So we're planning to have a really great time with that. Kids really love this time of year. They really love dressing up. They'll start telling me about it now.
Yeah.
What they're going to be for Halloween. So this is a fun time.
I tell you what, yeah, some people count down the days of Halloween, and, you know, we might think of it as a one-day holiday. It's a season.
Yes, very much.
For them. So a lot of fun, you know, with that as well. Tracy, good to catch up with you. I thank you. I thank you for coming. And I'll tell you, we've had a lot of fun this week, kind of, you know, just trying to tell people what I call the Parkway story, you know, with all the people that come in. And we look around, we see alumni who've come back. We see people that have been here for a long time. I mean, there's a deep tradition here, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. I absolutely love working here. I feel like the community, the staff, they're all very caring and want what's best for the kids. Parkway is just a great school district.
Yep, and I have heard you know, people that have said that, you know, for years. So
yes,
they have. All right, thank you for coming. I want to thank the Rockford Eagles Lodge and River Trail Campgrounds. Thank you to Hegg Towing and the Fremont Company, along with Greer's Power Digging and The Fix. So we're going to take a quick break and catch up with Terry Samples, who is the Parkway Athletic Director. Position ADs are so busy, if I ask her to maybe tell me what she did yesterday, that could probably take up the whole time, because that's how busy ADs are. And we're going to return here on 96.7 The Wave. Hey, welcome back here. We're back to school at Parkway. Thank you to Swiss Insurance and Swiss Village, the Chad Insurance Center, Second Crossing Brewery, the Rockford Chamber, along with the Fix. I have Terry Samples with me, who is Parkway's athletic director. And Terry, nice to see you again. Thanks for coming.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
How long have you been AD now?
This is my third year as AD.
Oh, right. How's it going in the third year? So, things getting a little bit smoother?
Yes. Yeah? Yes. It's been a lot better this year.
Can you share with us a bit about your background first?
Sure. I started my teaching career at Fairview. I was a teacher before I became athletic director. And then I grew up here in this area. My husband and I both did, and we both graduated from Parkway. So we were happy to get back in this area to be close to family and friends again. So we had an opportunity with his job to move back, and I got a job back at Parkway and was a teacher and various grades for many years, lots of years in third grade and first grade.
All right. So, and I'm sure for you, all the prior experiences, sounds like it's a lot of fun and probably helped shape how you do things to this day, right?
Yes, yes. That and along with coaching, I had lots of years of coaching experience.
True. And you know, what's neat about being a coach, it's almost like we can say your coach is your teacher. Your teacher is your coach, real sense, you know?
Yes, I tell my coaches when I have meetings, before every preseason that to me, every coach is a teacher. And even if it's someone that their day job is, they're the controller at Crown or whatever, that their priority when they're here is they're a teacher.
Yeah,
as a coach.
As a coach. So let's also talk about what interested you about becoming the athletic director that said, I'm going to go for this position.
The biggest thing probably is my love for sports and the excitement that it brings. If you didn't have a great day in the classroom, you're stepping into a, different area, whether it be onto a volleyball court or whatever. And it's an opportunity to spend time with friends and build those relationships that are oftentimes long-term.
Let's also, talk about roughly, because I know that it's hard to name them all, but how many sports you have here at Parkway?
Okay, I did look this up. So in high school sports, we offer 20. And in junior high sports, we offer 16.
Okay. And I think also for just a moment too, talking about, the importance of the middle school sports. Absolutely. Which obviously serves as your farm team, as your development, for the players that eventually will be your varsity stars in a sense, right?
Right. So I guess the biggest thing is to give them experience. I mean, obviously I'm a very competitive person. If you know me outside of school, this environment, I'm very competitive, and I want to win. However, junior high is that stepping stone for the future. We need to get experience because you never know an athlete. They have a lot of development yet that hopefully will be taking place. So lots of athletes need to give, or students should be given opportunities as athletes.
Yeah, especially at that age, I imagine, right? Because
yes,
probably similar to think about your favorite, baseball team and think about like what spring training and winter, leagues look like where they play these young players or they have the lead, but they pull the pitcher out anyways because they're not necessarily, trying to compete like you would in the season. This is about getting people some experience and development, right?
Correct. And that's key. And you want to build them up so that they're going to be lifelong athletes, not just for a span of time, whether it be 1 year, 2 years, whatever. We want them to continue on after high school as well, especially in sports like cross country or golf, because anyone at any age can do those.
That's for sure. And, some of the people, you pick two sports where people generally tend to be fanatics, right? And whether that you or I probably wouldn't want to go outside, they'll say, well, I don't know. It's over 50 degrees. Let's go play golf, right?
Yeah,
they don't care, or let's go run,
Yes, yes. Any weather's good for running.
That's for sure.
She would know because she sees me out running a lot.
Never.
Which is great. Yeah. I think also talking about some of the things athletes learn about things like commitment and practice and humility.
Dedication.
Yeah. Be coachable is a thing, right? Just sit there and be grateful that somebody's working with you to develop your game, right?
Right. And there's a great opportunity for coaches to build that rapport with athletes too. Like I said, leave whatever happened prior to the day. And the same thing with coaches, and that's something I talk to coaches about. Something may have happened at work for you, but you need to leave it at that doorway because it's a completely different opportunity now that you have to touch these lives.
Yep. And you know what else is interesting? The inverse of that. I know Sparky Anderson for years would tell his players, don't take it home. It'll be here tomorrow. You didn't win the game.
Right.
We'll discuss that tomorrow. But go home and have fun. Live your life. Don't let it consume you either.
Right. Right. Easier said than done.
Yes. But. Yeah. And of course, in some ways, you have to remember the good stuff, right?
Absolutely.
If you were the hero of Polk High School, like Al Bundy was, you got to talk about that for the rest of your life. There's nothing wrong with that. But, take those life lessons, right?
Absolutely. And I said, and building those relationships, these kids outside of this building, they, have different groups of friends. In the classroom, it's one group of friends, but on the court, it's a completely different group of friends, depending on the season as well.
That's true.
If it's a three-sport athlete, yes, but they may not be in the same three sports either. So
I'm sure you encourage them. Yeah, play some multiple sports, right? I mean, this is your time to do it. One way or the other, once you become an adult, I mean, some of this stuff's going to have to stop, right? You got a limited shelf life on how when you can do this.
Right. Live it as long as you can. There are some athletes that I see in the hallways that should be in more than one sport. And I say all the time, you don't have to be the star player. We need, players that are there for whatever it is the coach needs them to be, whether it's the pinch hitter, whether it's the courtesy runner, whatever it is. But you have a role and know what your role is.
Yes.
So please, just consider it.
Yeah. And, for you also, the job of the AD, everything I'm sure from scheduling, getting officials, securing facilities, transportation, you're doing this. And then you get a call from a coach, we're out of basketballs, we're out of nets, stuff like that. I mean, keeps you busy, right?
Yes. Yes. Kind of like last year, or was it 2 years? No, it was last year in football. It's the middle of a varsity game. So any AD will say this, if you're away on football Friday, you're kind of like, I can relax, enjoy the game. You're home, it's a little more high strung, a little bit, more pressure, and our down markers, the one chain had broken. So I'm contacting Zach Alberts, like, how quickly can you get, we can try to make this do, but it's not going to be perfect anymore because the chain gang's doing the best they can do, but it's broken. He met my husband halfway. He went to the warehouse, got another one for us, met my husband halfway and got it back, was back for the third quarter then. I mean, so you have key people that help out to make things go smoothly for athletic directors as well.
That's for sure. And, look, again, obviously things like that people might not really think of, when they're watching the game, they're not thinking about things like the chain broke or something.
Absolutely. And Zach Alberts came through, so we're very blessed.
Yeah. And also, I'm sure the relationship and the help you get with other area athletic directors, you compete on the field, but outside of that, you're all friends, right? You're all in it together,
know? Actually, at the volleyball game last night, I was late getting in there because I had some other interviews to do prior to the volleyball game. So we're in the conference room, Mr. Fortkamp and I, and another coach, and people were interviewing. And you can hear all this noise outside, because we're in the conference room that's near the high school gym. And I'm wondering, what's going on in the gym? Because it was Parkway Volleyball against New Bremen Volleyball. And it was so exciting. I'm texting the girl that's managing the site for me, what's going on real quickly. And she's saying what the score is. And after the game, I talked to Chad, or actually in between maybe sets, when I did get to go in the gym, it was just so exciting to watch the Parkway volleyball team in New Bremen battle it out. It was really fun, exciting. It was lots of volley. But Chad now also said, no matter who won or lost, it was great to watch. We both congratulate each other after the game, and that's kind of the way it is with all the MAC ADs. We work well together. We're constantly in contact with each other, bouncing ideas off one another. So we're very blessed.
Yeah, and something that also I think happens a lot around here, either for fans and probably even coaches or possibly the ADs, you get family that's kind of scattered around. And so here's your school versus another school, but you might have family playing on the other team, you know?
Right.
And that's okay too, yes. Right? So, yes. Terry, as always, though, we want to thank you. And, obviously, good luck to you. Good luck to Parkway and all the schools. We certainly enjoy when we're able to, cover some Parkway mm-hmm. games. And, we wish you the best. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, and we appreciate this opportunity today.
Hey, welcome. We are at Parkway as part of our Back to School series, and we want to thank our sponsors, Greer's Power Digging and the Fremont Company. Thank you to Hague Towing, River Trail Campgrounds, and Rockford Eagles Lodge. And, one of the things you sometimes have, maybe smaller school districts, et cetera, or even really any school districts, is people wear a lot of hats. So with that, I'm welcoming back Ryan Thompson. But this time around, Ryan, we're not going to necessarily talk about golf. We're going to talk about, special education, as you are the special education director here at Parkway.
Yeah, Kevin, this is my third school year here at Parkway. I've been in special education my entire career. I think this is year number 19 for me in education, and all 19 years have been in special ed.
Let's talk about that for a moment too. 19 years of special ed. What are some of the ways that special ed has changed over nearly two decades like that?
There continues to be a big emphasis on inclusive classrooms and an exposure to the general education curriculum. I continue to see that push in all of our classrooms to have. Give our kids opportunities to learn alongside their peers, have great peer models. Our intervention specialists are great at inclusive practices in the classrooms that, don't have nearly as many special education classrooms that existed 20 years ago or so, that our special education teachers get in those classrooms and are alongside those kids in, a typical grade level classroom.
Seems also maybe more of an emphasis to make sure these kids can be in class, right, with everybody.
Yeah, and our grade level teachers, our intervention specialists, put a lot of time into making sure that instructional materials are modified appropriately, that accommodations are in place to allow students to access the curriculum in that setting, and a lot of time and resources go into just planning and coordinating to make sure our kids have what they need to be successful there.
Let's also talk about some of the reasons that a student may need an intervention specialist or, some of the things that might cause them to kind of fall under the category of special education.
We do have a process as soon as kids walk into the door at school, we're doing benchmarking and assessments, and our classroom teachers typically do that in the general education classroom. Looking at academic skills, social skills, emotional skills that these kids have, and if they identify some deficits, working through the process of maybe what is the cause of that deficit? Is it a skill that they've not been taught, that they've not been introduced to, and then providing those supports to provide that remediation? We also do a lot of data. Tracking and progress monitoring to see how the student responds to some of those interventions. Our hope is that we see a high percentage of those students respond positively. If we're still seeing some weaknesses or some skill deficits, we move to a more intensive, kind of some one-on-one instruction, meeting with that classroom teacher or somebody else who can provide those intervention skills. And in the event that a student isn't making progress as we would like to see, that we may move to having a conversation about what those next steps might be. And next steps could possibly be a special education evaluation.
All right. And have you also found over the time, both through, the effort of professionals and just in general, that we're trying to take away the stigma of the term special education, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of neat to see the culture form inside a building. I've had the opportunity to work in multiple different school districts and different buildings, and you know, each school kind of creates a culture. And you know, when you walk into a building like Parkway, and you truly see an inclusive culture where there's all kinds of learners sitting in the same classroom. Maybe not all doing the exact same thing, but they're all doing something that's aligned to, you know, the same topic. Kids help one another, that they're quick to jump up and volunteer and, you know, say, hey, I'll help this student, or, you know, put me in this group with them. And even, you know, that spills over into the hallways outside of the classroom. We even see it along in extracurriculars. That kids just are willing to help kids. They grow up knowing these are my classmates. We take care of one another. And it really doesn't matter, you know, how different their abilities might be.
Yeah, and I think that's key, different abilities. That there may be, you may have a friend and they're so good in one subject, which really helps because you're not good in that subject at all. And then there might be a subject you are really good at, and that's their Achilles heel, right? You can help each other. Yeah,
absolutely.
And you also talk about, you know, how you learn differently, right? For some of us are more visual learners. You can explain something to me all you want, but I'm not going to learn as good as I am when you show me, right?
And our teachers, our classroom teachers, you know, our content area teachers put a lot of work into that, recognizing that there are multiple different modes of learning, or people learn differently. And you know, when it comes to teaching a lesson, they're going to have multiple visual supports that go along with that. Some teachers spend time doing audio recordings of reading passages that you'll just push out to the whole classroom because, you know, maybe there are some students in there that understand the material better when they hear it versus when they read it themselves. Or maybe they listen to it while they're reading along with the text. Some of our teachers even, you know, record audio versions of the test. And they'll just push it out to the class because, you know, they want to make sure that they're measuring on that assessment the skills that they're really assessing, and not necessarily, you know, in that particular test. It might not be a reading test, but it's more about the actual content that they want to make sure the student has.
It's interesting to think about, you know, reading versus, say, reading comprehension. You know, like you can read these words, but did you really understand them sometimes?
Yeah, and that's where, you know, giving students an opportunity to get that information multiple ways through visual supports that go along with the text, or maybe reading along visually while I'm listening to an auditory version of the text, sometimes just makes those things stick a little bit better.
You do wonder sometimes how we learn and how we remember, that we might have a hard time with some subjects, but we will remember the lyrics to some of our favorite songs. But there's got to be a reason for that, right? It probably comes down to, you know, how we hear something, right?
It does. And I know there's a lot of memorization that goes on in some different subjects. And I know even, you know, through the high school, some of our intervention specialists, that if there's a certain piece of text that kids have to memorize, whether it's part of the Constitution or part of the, you know, the FFA creed, or, you know, the different pieces of text, there are like song versions that go along with it, and they'll pull that up and make sure they'll be rehearsing that with their kids to try to just find a way,
yeah,
with those kids that they'll get it.
We still remember, because we're sort of in the same age group, the old classic, I'm Just a Bill, and I'm sitting here in Capitol Hill. But it's funny to look back on that stuff now, but it worked, right? We remembered that stuff.
And it still works.
It still works. Yeah. So, also, I'm sure adaptive devices, right? I can, you know, remember like reading labs and some other things that kind of helped, you know, helped you to focus, helped you to read, those sorts of things.
Yeah. And kind of back to one of your earlier questions about what are some things that have changed. And that is one of the biggest changes that I've seen is, you know, 20 years ago, when we were looking at adaptive equipment or assistive technology devices, you know, it was pretty specific and pretty intentional that, you know, we needed this device because a student needed the opportunity to do text to speech, or to do word processing, or to enlarge, you know, with a visual impairment to be able to enlarge. And now almost all of our students have a device. You know, we might not be one-to-one, or it might not be a device they have access to all day, but the accessibility of those devices and the accessibility features embedded in those devices that, you know, 20 years ago, a student may have needed two or three devices to carry out those functions that they need to access their learning. And now it's just one device that has those three features, but it can also do multiple, many, many other things.
That's pretty neat how that has come. And a lot of those things, like you said, kind of like ebooks, you know, we do tend to make the font that you know, that we want, so it's large enough that we want to see it. How many people also, maybe they can hear perfectly fine, but they like to put the closed captioning on anyway, something that wasn't necessarily an option years ago either.
Yeah, and a lot of those accessibility features that, you know, were created or designed maybe with individuals with different abilities in mind. You're right. We all, you know, we all zoom in on our phone, not necessarily because we need to, but it just makes it more comfortable. Or, you know, we have volume features or contrast features we can change, brightness settings. We all utilize those.
Yeah, even texting, which everybody does now, but years ago, for the hearing impaired, they had those like TTDY, you know, kind of pads where, you know, people could use the telephone in that sense, right?
Right. And even, yeah, you know, features like text to speech, you know, that we tell our phone to read something out loud to us, or speech to text that,
yes,
you know, instead of sitting there and keying on the keyboard, you know, we can verbally tell our phones what we want it to say, or our word processors what we want it to say. And it's pretty incredible.
It's getting there. Sometimes there are some humorous errors on talk to text.
We still teach our students when you're using this technology, you still need to make sure that you're double checking that it's accomplishing or saying what you want it to say.
Yeah, you get the dreaded, what are you talking about? It's like, then you look at what you sent and, you know, it doesn't even remotely make sense. It just didn't hear, but it's getting better. Also,
it sure is.
You know, that's also it's almost like sometimes when you're talking to somebody, you have to check yourself and not, you know, add in like question mark or explanation point, because you don't have to do that in real conversation. You know,
yeah, it is definitely a skill, and you know, we try to give our students an opportunity to practice those skills. You know, because, you know, somebody along the way taught us that, yeah, when you punctuate using text to speech, you have to tell the system to punctuate properly.
That's right.
And so we do try to give our kids opportunities to practice that.
Just don't do all caps. That's shouting.
Right.
That's you always get a few people that always do that. It's like, why are you shouting at me? So, you know, Brandon, it's also, I think, fascinating to think about what is to come next. Obviously, AI is here, and I'm sure that's starting to impact special education.
It is. You know, that we work a lot with our teachers on how to use AI as a tool. You know, it's a great idea generator, that if, you know, you're looking for different ways to accommodate or different ideas or strategies to teach students, it's a great idea generator. But also, you know, it doesn't replace the classroom teacher. You know, the classroom teacher has that relationship with those students and you know, can monitor and gauge the effectiveness of different accommodations or strategies that we're trying to put in place. Also with our students, we're trying to teach them that it's a tool that they can use, but they also have to have those critical thinking skills to be able to determine, is the information that I'm getting from AI, is this credible? How do I check my sources? How do I make sure that the information that I'm getting is accurate? And I've also seen some teachers do some neat things where they've intentionally come up with some things where AI has generated some incorrect information, where students have had to try to sort through that and figure out, you know, is this correct or not? And how do I fact check that?
You know, in a sense that may not be much different than what we grew up with, where you would sometimes have to cite your sources and check out where they came from, do your research, use the old, you know, library system we had. But the spirit of it is still there. You still have to fact check.
Yep, and that's where, you know, just focusing on those critical thinking skills, you know, analyzing this, does this make sense? Is this, you know, am I going to consider this a reliable source? Where is a reliable source that I could go to double check?
Yep, generally you do fairly well with things that end with .gov. You know, if you're looking for some hard statistics, if it's medical, you probably can't go wrong with the AMA, for example, as opposed to some other sites that you better stay off of, because that's not science, you know?
Yeah, you know, Wikipedia was the one that was always the non-credible source when we, you know, when we were doing our research. Yeah. And now it's a little bit more complex than that, because, you know, some of the sources, you know, you just aren't quite sure where they originated from.
Yeah, I think in a sense it's getting worse, because a lot of stuff you get into what I call the clickbait, where they just want you to click, and other times you can't tell that something is satire, right. You know, when you realize, okay, this is the youngin that's sharing this. Okay, this isn't real.
Yeah, and even images now, yes. are more and more difficult to decipher, to figure out, is this a real image or is this something that was created using AI?
Yeah, and sometimes you can tell because people's hands are wrong in AI, things like that. But other times you're right. They can get pretty good with that.
Sure can.
All right. Ryan, good to see you again. You know, we appreciate getting to do that. I'll tell you what, we're kind of coming up on obviously some fall weather. And, you know, I think about that other thing you do, coaching golf, playing golf. Is it a great time, if not even the best time, to kind of grab the clubs when it's starting to cool off a little bit, you know, some fall weather?
Yeah, that's a great place to be in the fall, is out at the golf course. It's my favorite time of year to play. The weather sometimes cools down a little bit, and with that cooler weather, I always feel like the golf courses, you know, kind of revive themselves a little bit before they go dormant for the winter. You know, most falls we have a little bit of rain. That's not the case this year, but it's a great time of year to play golf and be at the golf course in the evenings.
I'm ready for the fall. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for it to come. Yeah, so
am I.
All right, Ryan, good to talk to you again. We sure appreciate that.
And me too.
And here we are, day three of Back to School at Parkway. Kevin Sandler with you. Thank you to Greer's Power Digging and the Fremont Company, Hag Towing, Swiss Village, and Second Crossing Brewery. This time around, we're talking to Parkway's treasurer, Debbie Pierce, on the program. Debbie, nice to see you.
Good to see you.
How long have you been Parkway treasurer now?
Almost 20 years.
What, share with us, if you would, where you grew up and you know, your education and how you took up this line of work.
I grew up in Delphus, Ohio, went to St. John's, graduated from there, and then I moved first to Tennessee, then to Oklahoma, and then to California. When I was in California, I went to California State University, Fresno. Graduated from there, and then I got my CPA license. Lived in California about 20 years before I decided to move back home. So I worked out there as an accountant, an auditor, and then I became the internal auditor for a large school district out there. There wasn't anything similar to that in Ohio, so I decided the closest thing I could come up with would be a treasurer.
All right. That's interesting. An interesting path of how you grew up as a Blue Jay, and then eventually you became a Panther.
I'm a Panther now.
and well traveled, right? Yes. I mean, you've been some places, right?
I have.
You know, after all that time in California, was it nice to come back here and have an actual fall and a winter again?
That is one of the nice things. When I would fly back home, I was always amazed at how green everything was. Everything just seemed so lush here compared to California.
All right. Over that time, how have things changed in the treasurer's office? Because thanks to a lot of state budget discussion and controversy, it seems lately that everybody's become very aware of who their district treasurer is, because they want to hear what you have to say. You know, sure. All of you have been kind of thrust front and center these days, right?
Right. Yeah, it has changed. The laws have changed a lot. The budgets change every 2 years, so it kind of depends on who our elected officials are at the time, how that affects our jobs, what laws get passed.
Let's also, you know, talk about one of the things we hear about, and you all have to do this, right? The five-year forecast is a requirement, but it's also something I've learned. We tend to need to take it with a grain of salt because they're asking you to look out 5 years, and you're thinking, you know, I think I have a good idea of what's going to happen next year, but this five-year stuff is kind of hard to really say, isn't it?
Well, they've changed it now. So to calling it a three-year forecast, it's really a four-year forecast. It's this year that we're in and then 3 years out. So I'm still going to do the whole five-year forecast because for our tax season, it's 5 years. So, I'm still going to go 5 years out and I'll just submit the first 3 years to the state.
Excellent. And sometimes I'm sure also it can serve as a warning, right, that you might have to corral some spending or try to secure some grants. Other times I'm sure you can see that certain sources of funding is going to end and you might want to prepare for that now, et cetera.
Yeah, the next 2 years we'll be getting less state funding. So that is... The estimates they're coming out with now are about $200,000 less. So that is somewhat significant, but I'm sure there are enough other ways we can make revenue to make up for it.
Yep, and some of that is, you know, usually it's the Board of Education that has to figure these things out, but, right. You know, sometimes it can be anything from asking for replacement levies, you know, like we're going to let this one fall off the books and do this instead, you know, all the way up to possibly doing an increase and explaining why, or some other times where, again, you might have to reduce spending on some things.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we haven't had to ask for any new money since I've been here. So I'm really proud of that. We've been able to balance our budget every year and come up with ways, like you said, to reduce expenditures when we needed to. We did just build the athletic facility, the building that's out there. We didn't have to have any tax dollars to do that. We just moved some general fund money into Fund 70 and used that building fund. So, we're doing well financially.
Excellent. And obviously good to know, much appreciated. You know, people sometimes, you can get scared by some of the things you see in the news, right?
Yeah, right.
Do you sometimes hear from people that might send you an email or call and say, what about this? And, you know, this is what I saw on the news. How's that going to affect us here?
I haven't had that happen lately. A couple years back, I had a gentleman who was very concerned with casino tax revenue and how we were spending that. So we had a discussion. I explained to him how that worked. But normally the public is pretty well informed and we don't hear too much from them.
Excellent. Now for you, I know you have an office, you know, kind of right here in this mm-hmm. complex that we're in with the other administration. Do you still find a way though to either interact with students and staff now and then, or is there a lot of times that you can't get away from the office, so to speak?
I can't get away from the office very much, but in the mornings, I walk down and get my ice water, and I usually have a conversation with a couple of littles. Then some of the kiddos like to tell me about their day, about what they're expecting. So that's always fun. When we have a parade that comes through the school, I go out and cheer them on. So that's
excellent.
Nice. I like being around the kids.
I think also it's not a bad idea to remind people sometimes of stipulations. Some people might wonder why you're spending money on this but not this. And there are some times that it's not necessarily about what you want to do, but it's what a district can do, that sometimes you get funds and they must be used this way and not that way.
Yeah, sometimes our restricted funds are only to be used for certain things. So we can't use taxpayer money for buying T-shirts for everybody or buying snacks for everybody. It has to be used just for specific purposes that are related to school expenses. then we get some grants that are only for, say, our safety grants, only for things that are related to safety and improving safety of students and staff. So it's very specific.
That's something that we have seen over the years, some of the, like the grants for security, for example, where we've seen some pretty incredible upgrades on you know, technology that you have now here at the district. Pretty neat how you have you know, ways that people are buzzed in to some pretty intricate surveillance systems, all things that cost money. So grants and other things have helped make that happen.
Right. Yes, we're working on one right now that is getting new vape sensors in the bathrooms, so kids can't go in the bathroom and vape without getting caught. Our cameras that are in the hallways, you can see 360 degrees, and you can also hear, which I don't think everybody realizes that. So I have to remember, and when I'm walking back from the cafeteria, don't be eating your French fries in the hallway.
No, they'll catch you, right?
Right.
That was another big one. No running in the hallway, no eating in the hallway was a big one. Yeah, and it's funny, as soon as you talked about the vaping sensors, I started hearing that old song, by Brownsville Station, and I had smoking in the boys' room, if you remember, from all those years ago. Yeah, it's amazing how technology changes some things, but some other things stay the same. And, you know, kids will be kids sometimes. They don't always make the best decisions, and you help them on that path. And that's a way to do that. I think a lot of those kind of things aren't necessarily about getting you in trouble. Just sit down and say, hey, we got to talk about some decisions you're making here, right?
Yeah, we need kids to make good decisions. So.
That's what that is, what that is about, you know, for you. Also, as we are talking with Debbie Pierce, the treasurer for Parkway, much as it was in the accounting field, does your job change seasonally or by year? I mean, like if we catch up with you now, you know, you're working on different things than you might be working on maybe more towards the end of the year?
Right now I'm working on our five-year forecast, or should I need to change my vocabulary and say a three-year forecast. But in the summer, the workload's a little lighter because there's no teachers and no students here. Of course, we still have to put the payroll out and pay the bills. So in the summer, that gives us a good time to go through files and box up old things and, you know, kind of tidy up the offices. We collect taxes quarterly, so like our income tax comes in quarterly. Different revenues come in at different times of the year. The beginning of the school year is always very busy for secretaries, for my office, with collecting school fees. But yeah, it just depends on the month.
I was going to say that for a lot of people, they kind of come here, they do their job, and you know, the idea of, you know, what a treasurer has to do. I mean, the amount of money that comes in and from so many different sources would probably be staggering to most of us. You know, I'm sure even you sometimes, right?
Oh yeah, sometimes my deposits are pretty big. I am always amazed at the beginning of the year. And then on Mondays, because after all our football games and sporting events, Mondays rolls around. And those are pretty big deposits, too. A lot of our revenue is electronic now. So it just goes straight from the state to the bank. We just input the numbers into our system. So we don't have to handle the checks and the cash as much as we used to.
Yep, and I was also, you know, thinking about that as well, that everything pretty much has to balance right to the penny.
Yeah.
And there's obviously accountability, you know, there too, right? That this is all being used as it was supposed to be used for, right?
Yep. The state auditors come in every year or every other year, sometimes depending on our single funding certificate, how much we've spent in a year. So if we got a lot in grants like we did during COVID, then they'd come in every year and audit. So A to Z every year. Now we're back to every other year. So.
True. And, you know, obviously a little transparency is not a bad thing, but nonetheless, I'm sure it's still pretty stressful that you have to kind of let them in, let them do this stuff. It's going to take some time. Even though, you know, it's all going to turn out okay, they're still kind of turning things upside down, aren't they?
Well, it's a little extra work.
Yeah.
You know, to pull 20 checks and from this and, you know, all these different things. They want to look at, oh, employees, pay, and all kinds of things. So,
yeah, that's for sure. Well, Debbie Pierce, our guest, Parkway's, you know, treasurer. And, you know, we appreciate getting to talk with you. It's interesting how you moved around a lot. Was there a certain reason you did all that moving around, or was it just that's where life took you?
Well, when I was younger, when I just got out of high school, I worked for the Delphus Herald, and then tried going to college in Lima. And walking through the snow that was up to my knees, I was like, yeah, maybe I'm not ready for this. So I moved in with my brother in Knoxville and enjoyed spending time in the Smoky Mountains. He got a job in Oklahoma, so I moved with him to Oklahoma. And then I got married and moved to California. So I wanted to spend time with my daughters when they were little. And I didn't go to college until my youngest was in preschool.
Okay.
So I took a little break between high school and college. And I was actually like, ooh, I don't know if I'm smart enough to do this anymore. It's kind of a learning curve to remember how to study. But yeah, I was 4.0 my first 2 years.
That's
so I was
awesome.
Like, there you go.
You got this, right. You got a couple kids. Any grandkids?
Oh, gosh, I have 10 grandkids.
That's fantastic. Do any of them go to Parkway?
No, they don't. Okay. My daughter is in Ohio City with her three, and she's due in November with her fourth. And they go to Van Wert. Malia and Willow live with me every other week. They go to Lincoln View, and my other grandkids go to St. John's.
Okay,
excellent. It's like a little triangle area that I traveled to be my grandma duties.
Hey, it keeps you busy, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
In a good way.
I enjoy it.
All right, Debbie, thank you, for stopping by. It's a pleasure to talk with you and hear about, you know, your career as a treasurer. Thanks for stopping in.
Thank you.
It is back to school at Parkway High School. Thank you to Rockford Eagles Lodge, River Trail Campgrounds, Hig Towing, and the Fremont Company, along with Greer's Power Digging. Shannon Wagner is with us, a music teacher for grades K through 8. Shannon, share with us, how long have you been at Parkway?
Well, this is my 21st year at Parkway and 29 in education. So.
Right. Where did you grow up and what got you into music and education?
Well, I grew up in Northeast Indiana in a little town called Cherubusco. I had a wonderful music teachers growing up, and music has just always been a part of my life. Both sides of my family, there's a lot of people playing instruments and things, and I can remember even as a little girl standing up and belting out Delta Dawn in front of my family any chance I got.
You know, you do kind of have a Tanya Tucker kind of resemblance, you know? That's really cool. You know, what else? I imagine there cannot be too many people who have ever said Cherubusco correctly to you, right?
That is correct, yes.
That is a tough one when you see that name come up on there. How many different instruments and things do you play personally?
So I majored in voice and played piano and then all the percussion instruments. I dabble a little bit with the trumpet, and so that's about it.
All right, so let's talk about that K through 8 age. I'm sure, you know, with the kindergartners, you're working on some very basic kind of skills. So when you get them in kindergarten, what are you trying to teach them then?
A lot of we're trying to learn just trying to find that good, steady beat, identifying loud sounds and soft sounds, and an even more difficult one is for them to understand the concept with high and low. Like a lot of times they confuse high sounds with loud, and so we work on that a lot during that first year.
True, because I'm sure, you know, with a lot of them, you're you may not be getting into things like harmonizing melody, right? It's a little young for that,
that's
right?
That's a little young for that. But we do a little bit in third and fourth grade, and certainly then when we get into the fifth through eighth grade, there's a lot of harmonizing there.
Yeah, and I'm sure also that, you know, with those early years, you're kind of building some foundational stuff, right?
Yes.
That's you just kind of walk them through that so that by the time they get to the eighth grade, you've built on it, and that's why they sound the way you do, right?
Yes, yes. And my hope is even at this young age to just to instill a love and excitement for music. In fact, this past Friday night, it was our 12th annual Star Spangled Banner night at the football game, home football game. And I always pick this time of year because it's the anniversary of when Francis Scott Key witnessed the battle at Fort McHenry. And I was anticipating maybe 100 students showing up Friday night, and I was closer to 150. And that just shows that how much these young students just are so excited to get out there and perform.
True. I bet that is fun.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And I think everybody, you know, always has a moment when little ones come out and sing. Everybody stops what they're doing because it's always fun to see that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. And, you know, that's obviously one thing that you've gotten to do. But in those early years, I'm sure, are there some concerts and performances that they get to do at that age?
Yes. And for first through fourth grade, I do a Christmas concert with those. And then in the springtime, I do K through four, as well as with five through eight, we do a fall concert, a winter concert, and then one in the springtime.
All right. And with the early ages, one thing I think I tend to notice or remember is a lot of what they're learning, they tend to be very brief pieces, right? Just to start with, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But they're usually all tied together with little simple spoken dialogue, and the families just love them. You know, the auditorium is usually packed for each of those little programs.
Do you also enjoy the reaction of your younger students? Maybe the first couple times they practice something, and it's sounding a little rough. And then by the time performance night comes, they can all be proud of their progress.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, they'll even ask, "Hey, Miss Wagner, when's our next program? We just finished up one, and you're ready for the next one." And so they're just really excited about that.
That has to be great. You know, something you don't want to hear is, "I never want to do that again." Right? At least you know you're doing something right.
Exactly.
And then as they get older and get a little bit better, then the songs maybe start to get a little more longer, intricate, right?
Longer and more difficult. Fifth and sixth grade, and somewhat in seventh grade, we're really delving into that two-part harmony. And then sometimes in that seventh grade, and certainly then in eighth grade, they get three-part. And depending, we could even do some four-part harmony, very much like what they would be getting ready to do in high school.
This is also, I'm sure, a time where a couple things happen. One, you discover how much fine local talent that there really is. We've got young people in this area that have gone on to state and other things. They have incredible talent, right?
Yes.
Incredible voices, too.
Yes. Well, that's one thing. In the middle school, on our last day of school, we actually have a talent show. So those kids that really want to showcase and show off what they can do, that gives them the chance to get up on the stage, and all the attention's just on them.
Yeah, how neat that. And talk about bravery, right?
Oh, I mean, no kidding.
I mean, I think sometimes even singing in front of the class can get a little scary. Now you're on the stage, right?
And you know, when you're singing in front of the class by yourself, singing, you know, that's your instrument. Your voice is your instrument. And so if something doesn't sound right, that's 100% on you. If you're playing an instrument, for instance, in band, and something doesn't sound right, well, now you're taking it out and adjusting the reed or pulling out or pushing in and trying to get the tuning and everything right. But a voice is far more open and exposed.
True. And I'm sure you talked to them about the importance of warm-up, right, for your voice,
yes.
You know? And people that don't sing probably don't understand, like, how do you warm up your voice? Yeah. And I'm sure you can explain that, there are exercises you do, right?
Well, and that's what I try to encourage the kids, too. While we're doing these warm-ups, some of them I look, and they just don't seem to really be interested in doing those things. And I said, you don't understand. You know, I'm trying to make sure that everybody is forming their vowel shape exactly the same. Because when we sing a note, we're singing on a vowel shape. Or getting those intervals, the distance in between two notes, the warm-ups that I design go along with that to help them better learn their songs quicker.
And inevitably, also, you're dealing with, because after all, these are kids, and their voice is going to change. You know, that you might have somebody that had a lovely soprano, you know, kind of voice, and who knows, right? Over the course of one summer, they're back to school this fall, and they're like, "Hello, Mrs. Wagner." You know, that happened to them. Or like that famous Brady Bunch episode, right?
Where
Bobby's voice changes, you know, that, and you got to deal with that, I'm sure, right?
Well, and then that's one thing when something like that happens, and if a young man's voice does crack, you know, it's like, hey, we're not going to laugh about that, because, guys, that's going to happen to every one of you.
Oh, yes.
So.
Yeah, and that's totally normal.
Yes, right? It is.
You're going to get a new voice and you're going to learn it. Doesn't change when you're an adult either. Sometimes if you go back and listen to older recordings of yourself, it's still you, but it also you've changed over the years, right?
Yes, I have. When I was in college and my earlier years of teaching, I had an incredibly high singing voice. It was called a coloratura. It just was way off the charts, very high. Kind of not, maybe not a Mariah Carey thing, but I could sing real high. Now I don't hit those notes quite as well, but I certainly hit some of those lower things down in the lower range now better too. So
yeah. Sometimes you also think of your favorite band, and for those that have more of an astute ear for music, which I don't, but for those who do, have talked about how a lot of popular bands, they start to tune their instruments down a little bit to accommodate a singer who might be 60 years old now, and they still want to sound good, and that's the only way they're going to do it, right?
Right, right.
Interesting. So, you know, also, you know, for you, obviously you don't get them after eighth grade anymore,
correct?
Right? So for you, is it kind of fun to watch some of the high school stuff and see how far they've come now?
It certainly is. In fact, I was in the choir room Tuesday evening, and there was it was Monday evening. There was a young girl preparing a solo for the high school drama production that's coming up this fall called Cabaret. And I just was listening to her. She's a senior now. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, just listen to how far that voice has come since I had her in eighth grade.
Yeah, and also I think sometimes it's okay to pat yourself on the back, right? Yeah. I know you want to give your student a lot of credit, but you also realize that you were able to help them and develop them and coach them a little bit,
especially
right?
Especially when, you know, I see our bands and choirs go on to that state level in our large group contest. You know I'm not their director, but I can sit back and just quietly smile and feel good to myself thinking, I instilled some of those basic techniques early on, and hopefully that love of music, and then the high school directors are able to take that and mold that into something absolutely beautiful.
For you also, have you had the chance to maybe see some of your students that have gone on through adulthood and they still sing?
And
what are some of the things you've seen them do?
I've seen some that compete in things like America's Got Talent, or I'm trying to think, the Country Star Playoff. I've seen students do that. In fact, I've had some of them come back and ask for assistance with that. I've had students ask, hey, can you help me with my college audition? And what's really neat is right now our brand new band director that we have this year is actually a former student of mine. And it's just so wonderful to have Amy here.
That's for sure. Yeah, we enjoyed talking with her.
You do.
You know, and certainly have. Now for you, if you're not here, what's some of the music you might be listening to? We know you like Tanya Tucker, right?
Yeah, I like my country. I'm a huge 80s rock music. Give me some Journey, or give me some good old Huey Lewis in the News. I'm very happy with that music as well.
There you go. You know, it's funny. That's the music we grew up with. Today's kids would probably call that oldies.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
but they still like those oldies, especially anything by Journey.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, the arena rock era. Never to be repeated. That's the funny thing about music. You can maybe go into the studio and try to recreate that style, but it's gone. It's lightning in a bottle. It's fun sometimes to go back and listen to how music has evolved over the years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you listen to that old things, you know, Beatles and, you know, like I said, Journey, or even some of the heavy metal bands like AC/DC or whatever. You know, that was back in a time what you heard was their true voices. There wasn't any computerization to try to make sure everything is really in tune. And, you know, and that's not saying anything negative against our technology now, but there is a distinct difference.
That there is, for sure. You know, I want to thank you for stepping up, for coming on. Good to see you again. Shanna, thanks for coming.
Great. Thanks
Much
for having
appreciated.
Me.
Appreciated.